trying to check. One, two, three, four, five. Okay. At least I think we do make the quota for sitting a meeting. Let me welcome all of you honorable members, the department. I see Mr. Mokoena, sir. Hopefully we will have a fruitful meeting again. And thank you very much to those that were together during this period of the oversight. You did very well, all of you equally. I must give your appreciation when good things are happening. I must say your cooperation as well appreciated. Let me also extend a word of happy birthday to the president of the country as we start this meeting. Are there any apologies?
Good morning, Chair and our guest. I've got apologies from Mr. Zungula. He's not joining us today. And we just received an apology from the minister. He's busy with preparing on something. Thank you.
Okay. Without any, in the absence of other apologies, can I go straight to the presentation by the Department of Derelict and Ownerless Mines, including the issue of asbestos mines, as requested in terms of the challenges and all other related matters on the work being done. Over to you, Advocate DG Mokoena.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Good morning, Chair, and also to honorable members, DDGs, chief directors, the support staff to both the ministry and parliament, as well as representatives of labor and minerals council. Chair, just to give a context to the apology of the minister, it is correct that the minister is preparing for the investment summit, and so there are some prior engagements that have been planned for the investment summit as part of their preparations. Honorable Chair, the Portfolio Committee for Minerals and Energy has requested the department to present on derelict and ownerless mines, and so this would include the rehabilitation of asbestos mines. Chair, following the presentation done to the Portfolio Committee in November last year, the department, through both MINTEC and Council for Geoscience, continued to complete the targeted rehabilitation of asbestos mine sites and also the sealing of dangerous shafts and holes. The rehabilitation process continues to provide job opportunities to locally affected communities. Again, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, in the current financial year, the department is on course to meet the set targets as outlined in our APP. Whilst the declaration of lockdown in March 2020 had an impact in the rehabilitation of asbestos mine sites and also the sealing of holdings, the department, together with both MINTEC and Council for Geoscience, have developed a plan to fast-track the implementation process. We remain optimistic that the department will meet its target in this regard. Honorable Chair, illegal mining, which is popularly known as Zamazamas, remains a challenge, as reported previously. However, the department has engaged the National Coordinating Strategic Management Team, which is inclusive of both the South African Police Services and also the mining industry. Currently, the NCSMT, through the involvement of the Council for Scientific and Industrial Research, plan to implement the Command and Control Collaborator, a system to track illegal miners, especially within the Witwatersrand areas. CIMO is a system which utilizes satellites to identify and track illegal miners in real time. Honorable Chair, I'll now hand over to the officials in the department to present a detailed presentation to the Portfolio Committee as requested. Thank you very much. Over to you, Mr. Mawate.
Thank you, DG. Honorable Chair, honorable members, senior managers in the department, and all members present, good morning. As the DG has indicated, we have been asked as a department to present to the Portfolio Committee on the derelict and ownerless mine sites, including the rehabilitation of asbestos mines. May I go, the presentation layout will look into the introductory remarks, the South African mine legislation history, the sealing of open shafts or haulings, or what we call haulings, the challenges which we have experienced to date, including even the current financial year, strategies in dealing with illegal mining, or the so-called Zamazamas, shafts and haulings sealed to date, and the 2019-2020 completed asbestos asbestos sites, and work opportunities which are being encountered or experienced as a result of this program, and then conclusion. Honorable Chair, in preparing for the presentation, we found it appropriate that we should share at least one or two slides, firstly, on the history so that members could have a recollection of what actually happened previously and why we have the challenges of asbestos in the country. And secondly, we found it prudent that we should also share with members the progress which has been attained by the department in the previous financial year, as well as the current financial year. Next slide. Honorable Chair, the challenges of asbestos mining in South Africa has been with us for quite a long time. And the unfortunate part is that in 1956, we had the Mines and Works Act, which only made a requirement as being to install the fencing around the mining area upon closure of mines. So this was somewhat, at that particular time, looked at as an environmental management program. But this was more to protect the animals rather than human beings. Now, it became evident, especially in the advent of democracy, that there is a need to amend the legislation so that it gives effect to Section 24 of the Bill of Rights. And that is why we subsequently, in 2002, as a department, promulgated the MPRDA, and this gave effect to a suite of programs which would ensure that our people's health and safety is looked into. Honorable Chair and honorable members, it is also very important also to take note that the country has inherited, and certainly the department, over 6,000 derelict and ownerless mines in South Africa. Now, these are made of the mines from different commodities, and as well as the shafts which unfortunately were left unattended or not closed at the time when they were, the mines were closed. Now, next slide. Now, realizing the impact which some of these mines have on the environment, specifically the asbestos mines, it was necessary for the South African government to embargo the mining of asbestos in 1999. Honorable Chair, I think it's very important that we take note of the sufferings which our people experienced. People would know that the inhalation of asbestos fibers specifically cause a medical condition which we call pneumoconiosis. And in some instances, people experience what we specifically call asbestosis. And when people inhale these minute fibers, asbestos fibers, and they land into the lungs, they tend to line the lining of the lungs, and the condition there is called mesothelioma. And our people have died in the past, and our people again, even today, are still experiencing some challenges in as far as this is concerned. The department in 2000, therefore, somewhat therefore developed a program to ensure that these challenges which our people have been experiencing is addressed. And specifically, the Council for Geoscience was tasked with the responsibility to map out the scope of the problem and conduct an implementation program and also map out the risk associated with asbestos. A database subsequently was developed, and as members would also know that National Treasury is continuously funding this program on yearly basis. To date, there is a quantified liability of the extent of the derelict and ownerless mine site in the Republic. Next slide. Honorable Chair, in the previous financial year, the department, as part of its APP, have sealed 61 dangerous shafts through MINTEC and Council for Geoscience. These shafts are, as indicated, are very dangerous and they pose serious safety challenges to communities. The challenge which we're facing as a department and the country is that several of these shafts are actually situated very close to residential areas or the so-called informal settlements. And this brings me to bullet number two. Honorable Chair and honorable members will recall in our previous presentation, we had indicated that unfortunately one of the shafts which the department planned to close, unfortunately a child fell into that shaft. And this is situated in the Ekurhuleni municipality. But as part of the stakeholder management process, the department engaged the municipality and all the relevant stakeholders and even the family affected in this regard. And the family indicated its interest to conduct, because what we actually happened was that the department, together with the relevant stakeholders, devised some means to retrieve the child. But unfortunately, it became evident that that will not be prudent. And therefore, there was a need to somewhat engage with the family concerned. And the family indicated that they would want to conduct rituals on the site. And that was, permission was granted. And unfortunately, we're still negotiating with the family. This has not happened as yet. And the department, under the leadership of the Director General, has requested that we engage the higher authorities, specifically in the Ekurhuleni municipality. And as such, the DMR team under the mine closure is currently engaging with the municipality with the hope of specifically engaging the executive mayor so that we can fast track this process. However, what has happened to ensure that our people are safe within the Ekurhuleni area or the affected area? The area, the shaft has been totally fenced, and there's no access to the site from the communities. Honorable Chair, in the previous financial year, 3 asbestos mine sites were rehabilitated as requested or as expected in terms of our APP. They include the 2 sites in Limpopo. We call it the Stratum, the first one. It's in the Sekhukhune district, as well as the Steelport within your Bekkersfort area, as well as Msauli in Mpumalanga province. Next slide. Honorable Chair, as the DG has indicated, the declaration of lockdown due to COVID-19 in March 2020 had an impact in achievements of our quarterly targets. However, this called for the department, together with entities, to review implementation plans in order to reflect forward planning. And as such, I would want to therefore to acknowledge the Director General, because during the first phases of the lockdown, as the department, together with the entities, even though we did not have access to the sites, we continuously, remotely planned, and the forward planning was therefore developed by specifically ourselves and the entities. And we can proudly say, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, that the plan would ensure that we deliver the target as expected. Next slide. Oh, no, just before that. Now, one of the challenges which also the department is experiencing is the illegal mining, especially within your shafts. Now, one area which is a serious challenge within the Witwatersrand area is the Van Rijn area, where most of these illegal miners who are heavily armed are unfortunately found. Now, it became evident, Honorable Chair, that there is a need for the department to develop a program to address this challenge. And as such, Team DMR conceptualized what one would call a war room to address this problem. These include potential. One of the things which has to be done in the next slide, if you could go into the next slide. One of the things which has to be done was to address the challenges which we are facing in the short term, in other words, immediate. And as part of the war room strategy, MINTEC has employed what we call tactical security, specifically to assist with the security of officials when they seal these shafts, but also very important to gather intelligence about tactics used by the illegal miners or Zamazamas. Maybe, Honorable Chair, it is important that I inform members that although the focus may be on the illegal miners within the shafts, the challenge is that these illegal miners somewhat have communicate with the communities nearby to supply them with food. But one of also the challenges which we are facing, Honorable Chair, is that these shafts, although they may be derelict and ownerless mines from some previous mine right holders, underground, there is somewhat interconnection between these mines or this shaft with the existing mines. And therefore, this called for the Team DMR to engage the CSIR to assist us in mapping a program which will address this challenge in the medium and short term. And after the presentation which was done by the CSIR to the Team DMR, it became evident that we will need to have the extended stakeholders as part of addressing this. And as such, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, the department consulted with the National Coordinating Strategic Management Team, which includes, amongst others, the South African Police Service, the NPA, the National Intelligence, the Mining Council, or mining right holders. And as part of this program, as indicated by the Director General, once implemented, the program would use satellite to monitor in real time the movement within these shafts. And we hope that this problem will be addressed. I must also indicate, Honorable Chair, that one of the things which we are doing, like I indicated, is the employment of technical security companies. Because the chances exist that once these shafts are sealed, they may be reopened. The technical securities have to be on site after almost 2 weeks after this the shafts have been sealed, specifically to ensure that the cement until the cement is cured, and for that that makes it very difficult for the zamazamas or illegal miners to go into this site or infiltrate this site. Next slide. Honorable Chair, this slide specifically this demonstrates what the department, together with the entity, specifically MINTEC and SAGE Council for Geoscience, have done. On the left, you have Makausi. This is one of our shafts, dangerous haulings, as we found it. And on the right is after the ceiling. As you can see, there is a warning also on top, which indicates that the area is dangerous. But although it may look as though there is just the ceiling of that opening, if the ceiling is such that when the ceiling is done inside the hole, it spread a bit widely or wider inside the shaft, so that the zamazamas find it difficult even to infiltrate from another angle. Next slide. This site is Makausi 2, before and after. Next slide. This one is Nine Boxberg shaft on the left, as you can see, and also after closure on the right. Next slide. This one is Amandeni, before the shaft was closed, and on the right after it was closed. Next slide. Honorable Chair, I have already indicated that in the previous financial year, the department managed to seal three asbestos mine sites. And the first one is Astratum, as indicated. The second one on the top right is Steelport Asbestos Project. And the bottom one is the Msauli in Mpumalanga. I must indicate, Honorable Chair, that one of the challenges which we are facing in rehabilitation of this site is that the terrain is mountainous, and it makes it very difficult for us to be able to rehabilitate this within a very short space of time. That's one of the challenges which we are facing. But very important also, Honorable Chair, is that when we, even before we start rehabilitating this this mine site, we consult with the municipality with reference to Steelport and also Steelport. We had to consult the relevant municipalities and Msauli too. The reason being that it is the intention of the department that these should be part of the IDP, so that municipalities take responsibility post the rehabilitation process. Next slide. Honorable Chair, in the current financial year, as indicated, we had a plan to rehabilitate on quarterly basis and seal the shafts as per initial plan. But unfortunately, due to the presence of COVID-19, we had to review our plan. And our plan to date, up until the second quarter of 2020, we managed to seal 14 dangerous haulings. And the remaining one, which we have, it's 26, which will be completed in the third and fourth quarter. I must indicate, Honorable Chair, that 16 of the 26 will actually be sealed and reported to the department by mid-December. In other words, just before the end of the third quarter. And the remaining 10 will then be completed on or before the end of the financial year. Honorable Chair, we managed we do have three sites again in terms of our APP. We've got 8 Cake and Lache Dry, both in the Lepelle Mkumbi municipality under Hoshi Matabata, and also Pench village in the Beggarsport in the Mefefe area. Next slide. Honorable Chair and honorable members, this slide demonstrates the department's call to respond to the challenges which South Africa, the country, is facing, and the call made by the president to ensure that programs provide the necessary work opportunities where possible. Now again, whilst the focus of derelict and ownerless mine site is on the sealing of the shafts as well as the rehabilitation of the mine sites, work opportunities are created in these. The first one, as you can see, Honorable Chair, we have the Pench, wherein you have approximately 11 work opportunities, and one could say out of those 11 work opportunities, 5 were women and 5 were male. And of these 5, of these 11, 7 were youth or are youth. And within the first term, members would ask a question and say, why do we have threat term 1, 2, and 3? 2, 3, and 4. The reason is that threat term was quite a huge area within the Sekhukhune area. And the department, together with the entity, in this instance, Mintec, found it prudent that this site should be divided into different portions, so that the employment of opportunities could be maximized, instead of, for example, giving this huge site to one company to rehabilitate, but several companies would then be employed, and several, therefore, people will then be employed too. As you can see, there has been a maximum number of people. Several number of people have been employed within the Stratum project. We also have the 8 Cake, which had 40 work opportunities, the sealing of shaft in the KZN, as well as the Lache Dry also in Limpopo, where 20 were some of the sites which were work opportunities had been experienced. In the current financial year, although we had the challenge of COVID-19, we managed again to employ several people, as indicated, Honorable Chair. 88 to date work opportunities have been created, and the target which we hope to achieve is 144. In conclusion, on this part of the on work opportunities, Honorable Chair, I must indicate that as part of Outcome 10, the department is expected to report as part of the expanded public works program, specifically on work opportunities created by government and specifically by the department. Next slide. Honorable Chair, I have shared with the members, firstly, the history of asbestos and the challenges which the country was facing. I have also indicated the sufferings which our people have encountered, the problem of pneumoconiosis, asbestosis, mesothelioma, the challenges which our people have suffered and are still suffering, as well as what the department has done in response, especially the new dispensation, to address the challenges which we are encountering. TMDMR will continue to ensure that Section 24 of the Bill of Rights is realized in as far as this derelict and ownerless mine site is concerned. But I've also shared, Honorable Chair, some of the challenges which we are facing. The issue of Balmoral Shafts, where a child fell, is a site which we as South Africans feel small about it. But we as a department, under the leadership of the Director General, would ensure that this challenge is addressed as a matter of urgency. Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, I've also shared with you the previous financial year deliverables, as well as the current financial year deliverables. I've mentioned to the members the challenges of COVID-19 and how the department, under the leadership of our minister, as well as the Director General, have responded to ensure that the targets which we have set for ourselves are reached. But overall, Honorable Chair, we have, as a department, also demonstrated how we respond to the call made by the President to address the challenges of work opportunities or employment which the country is facing. I thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Mose. Chair, that brings us to the end of our presentation. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and all members. I would like to hand over back to you, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, DG. Honorable members, yes, the presentation, can I get any take? I see the hand of Honorable Phillips, Honorable Kola, Honorable Valencia. Okay, in that fashion, Honorable Phillips.
Good morning, everyone, and good morning to the director and to Mr. Maatsi. I'd like to thank you for the presentation. It was very, very informative. I just have a question about three asbestos mines in the Mulder's Drift area. I visited them recently. Two were supposedly rehabilitated. One hasn't been rehabilitated at all, but there are still open shafts on those mines as well. And if you're not aware of them, can I make you aware of them? And if you are, what are we going to do, not just about the open shafts, but the actual tailings dumps or mine dumps of the asbestos that is still there? And people are living there. So it's actually blowing into their houses daily. When you speak to the medical staff in the area, they will tell you they have lots of deaths from what they refer to as pneumonia. But I suspect that it is not actually pneumonia, but we are looking at asbestos causes. That's my one question. My second question is, just recently prospecting rights were awarded to a company in on the far west coast. And for a expanse of 4,043 hectares, they were only charged 240,000 rand as a deposit for rehabilitation. And I'm very concerned that perhaps the amount of money that we are getting from companies when before they start is not enough to actually ensure that the rehabilitation is done properly. So if you could just maybe tell me, is there a formula that you apply for how much people have got to pay? I'd really appreciate that. But the most pressing is the asbestos mines in on the West Rand near Mulder's Drift. Thank you so much.
Honorable Kola.
No, thanks, Salwam Sintanda, Jenge Committee. Greetings to fellow Portfolio Committee member, colleagues in the Portfolio Committee. Greetings to the DG and the department. Let me join Honorable Phillips, who is not here, in welcoming the presentation by Mr. Moate. My first concern, Chair, is around the Balmoral shaft in Ekurhuleni. When I was listening to the presentation, Mr. Moate was saying that they want to deal with the issue with the agency that it deserves. In a matter of agency. So I want to understand, Chair, what is that matter of agency? Okay. What timeline are they giving this portfolio committee that they would have dealt with this issue of Balmoral? They also speak to a need to engage higher authority in the municipality of Ekurhuleni. And he goes further to say that the person they want to engage there is the mayor. So how long have they been seeking to engage the mayor, and when are they planning to commence and close the engagement with the mayor so that there can be movement on this question of Balmoral? Because there's a child involved, there's a family that is affected, so the issue needs to be dealt with the agents that it requires, Chair, not rhetorically but practically. Chair, in my own view, that such shafts are easy target for the Zamazamas to pounce on, the one such as the Balmoral shaft. So what are your plans beyond fencing to protect this shaft from the Zamazamas? Okay. Another area which they spoken to was the fine rain area in the Gauteng. And the presentation says the Zamazamas in that area are heavily armed. How far are the police? Because this is a criminal matter where people are heavily armed. The police need to come in into that space and ensure that they deal with such criminal elements. So how far are our law enforcement agencies, your interaction with law enforcement agencies, to ensure that they deal with this challenge of heavily armed illegal miners? Also, I think because we do not necessarily need to focus only on the negative aspects, we also need to commend where there are positives. So we need to commend the department for having been able to successfully seal some of the shafts and complete the rehabilitation of some of the asbestos mines. The presentation also speaks to difficulty in rehabilitating asbestos mine sites that are in mountainous areas. They all go further to say that they would want to have engagement with municipalities to have some of these mines as part of their RDP. So I want to understand that how far are they in terms of engaging mines that are in mountainous areas to engaging municipalities to ensure that they also come on board with regard to the rehabilitation of these asbestos sites. They also saying that there are 14 dangerous sites that have been closed, that out of the 26 remaining, 16 will be closed before December, 10 will be closed before the financial year end. And I want to say, Chair, that we will hold them accountable for this commitment that they are making to the portfolio committee, that indeed they must fulfill all the things that they are saying they are going to fulfill, Chair. Last but not least, Chair, is that we also need to commend them on the presentation where it speaks to work opportunities, that it is we're impressed. I am personally impressed, and I'm sure colleagues also in the portfolio committee are quite impressed about the number of women and youth that are employed in the rehabilitation space. I think it is quite commendable that we get a dominancy of both women and youth, and we call on you to continue on this trajectory, encourage other entities to follow suit. And Yabulela Sal.
Mama Malinga.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Greetings to yourself, my colleagues in the Portfolio Committee. Greetings to the department led by Advocate Tim Mukwena, and greetings to our support staff and guests, if we have any, Chair. Chairperson, let me also appreciate the presentation tabled before the Portfolio Committee on the derelict mines, and appreciate the work that has been done so far. Chairperson, let me start with the last point that Honorable Gula just made, that we commend the department on the work of sealing the shafts and the progress report that they have given us, that by mid-December, 16 of the remaining 26 will be closed. Indeed, Chairperson, we are going to hold them accountable to that they adhere to the timelines and timeframes that they are giving to the Portfolio Committee, as well as the 10 remaining before the financial year ends. Chairperson, I want to zoom to what I heard when the presenter was talking about the child who fell in that hole at Ekuruleni, that the family wanted to do rituals. I did not get him correctly, Chair, that was the family granted permission to do rituals. In our blacks, we do rituals, Chair. Ubiyolanda umoya womuntu la uphangalele khona. Was the family given this right, and has that hole been sealed as yet? Chairperson, on the work opportunities given on that slide, if I am correct, Chair, they said asbestos mines, three were closed, one in Mpumalanga, but I did not see any work opportunities given to Mpumalanga people. And why is that, Chair? Why I commend them for giving, Chair, work opportunities to women and youth, Chair? Out of the three asbestos mines that have been sealed, Chair, how many are remaining that needs to be sealed? That will be my last question, Chair. Thank you very much.
Mama Dogwe. I see your hand. I thought your hand is up.
Thank you, Chairperson. I had a bit. Yes, it is actually. My network has been on and off.
Okay.
And thanks the team from two. I think it's three or four. The first one, the work opportunity. Yeah, it's on the work opportunity. I mean, I the numbers are very promising, and it's very good that work, especially in the areas that the people are doing, and what is their average take-home salary, able people throughout. We do commend, like my previous colleagues, that we see representation of women, we see representation of youth. But I just wanted to find out, do we have any disabled people that are that are assigned work? If so, what are the statistics? That is the first question. And then the second question, the state had inherited about 6,000 mines that issues that had been abandoned and everything. And then there were amendments that were done to the law, specifically on the issue of environmental issues. And then I just wanted to find out, after the law was amended in 2002, how many of those mines were then abandoned? And what is perhaps then the financial implications, or specifically the mining companies, what are their financial implications in making sure that rehabilitation is being done? And then the third question is on the tactical security, because I think it says that I think they stay there for about 2 weeks afterwards, or they are assigned 2 weeks after them. I wanted to find out, how long do they stay there? What are the financial implications of them being there? And whether any locals are actually employed in these tactical securities, or is it all outside people? Those are the three questions I have, Chairperson. Thank you.
Okay, Honorable Matoko, thank you very much. I hope they heard you, but if possible, just supplementary to those questions, I heard, because you were referencing to the report anyway, but I'm just saying so that we, the answers don't do a disservice to your question. If possible, just on the side where it talks about the, I think it will say more, if you can list them so that if possible, as they respond, they can look at what those questions. Your reception was not good to some degree, so I don't want you to feel that your questions were not responded to. But I hope they've picked them properly, all the questions. DJ?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I would hand over to Mr. Moate. The DDGs, they would add where it is necessary to add. Then I will wrap up at the end if there will be any outstanding questions. Mr. Moate, over to you, sir.
Thank you, DG. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. I'm with my colleague here, the director responsible for mine closure. He will respond to the first question on the mother's drift, as well as the second question on the prospecting right, and also the question of work opportunities in Mpumalanga. Honorable Chair, on the question by Honorable Kula about the Balmoral shaft. The question is, what is the matter of agency? What are the timelines, if any? And I'll respond to this question, Chair, also as part of the question asked by Honorable Malinga. Honorable Chair, firstly, the department's intention is to seal this site specifically, like yesterday. But we recognize that as families and Africans, after the consultation with the family consent, it became very clear that we would need to give them a hearing. We have engaged them, specifically the municipality in this instance, There is a councillor involved in this instance, and also senior officials within the municipality. They have since engaged the family concerned. As you may be aware, normally this particular problem would pose a real challenge in arriving at some decisions by the families. So in this instance, the last time I heard was that there has been engagement with the entire family, extended family, on this issue. And a decision had not been reached. And that is why there has been the delay. But permission has been granted by the municipality to conduct the rituals. And that is the question which was asked by Honorable Malinga. Now, when it comes to the timelines, it is very difficult to specifically say what would be the timeline. I think at the present moment, what we would want to impress specifically the senior managers within Ekurhuleni who would assist us in this instance, specifically the office of the mayor, is that we hope that with their involvement, the community would fast track the process of conducting the rituals. But our plan is that once the rituals have been conducted, immediately the shops will be sealed. That should not be a problem. We should be, once the rituals have been conducted, they should be sealed within a space of, and I'm talking on top of my head, within a space of a quarter at the maximum. That will be sealed. And the question also related to what Mr. Kula, Honorable Kula was asking was, whom are you involving in this instance? From the onset, we had the team DMR, which consisted of officials from mine closure, including the senior manager, Mr. Masenya, as well as senior managers within the Council for Geoscience, engaged the senior managers within the Ekurhuleni municipality, as well as the relevant affected councillor in this instance. So we are involved with these officials and the political members within the municipality to address this problem. The issue of fencing of Balmoral shaft is a temporary measure. The department's intention in addressing the challenges posed by dangerous holdings or shafts is to totally seal them off from access, firstly, to the communities, especially communities nearby, as well as animals, and also to seal them in such a way that your illegal miners do not have access to this. Again, Honorable Kola asked the question, what role is the law enforcement agency playing in this regard? I must also indicate, Honorable Chair, that although MINTEC, the agency, has appointed technical companies to safeguard the people who are sealing these shafts, the technical companies work hand in hand with the SAPS. And where there is a need for the SAPS to be involved in terms of arrest, if any, they would then come in. But the SAPS are part of this strategy. The other question related, which was asked by Honorable Kola, is how many mines what is the department doing to engage mine rights holders in mountainous sites? Honorable Chair, with specific reference to asbestos mines, at the present moment, there are no specific mine right holders operating at the present moment. The mines have been closed. So what we do as a department, as part of broader stakeholder engagement, the first thing which we do, we engage the relevant municipality. For example, in the case of the 8K Khamatabata, we engage the Lepele Nkumbi municipality. We engage specifically the municipal manager as well as the mayor in this instance. And the mayor, the executive manager, as well as the department and the entity, we then go to the chief's consent, because also as part of respecting our culture, we would need to also engage the chief so that we get their joy in the rehabilitation process. So, and once that is done, we establish what we call project steering committees. And this would answer a question which was asked, if I'm not mistaken, by Honorable Madokwe, about employment of locals. The project steering committee consists of community members in all of the villages. For example, in the Khamatabata area, there are 10 villages. Each and every village is represented in the project steering committee. And this project steering committee is involved in the selection of subcontractors who are mainly from the communities affected, and also are involved in the employment of official or non-official, but employees who are going to be doing the day-to-day rehabilitation on the site. They are involved in the employment thereof. May I ask Mr. Masenya, who is the director responsible for mine closure, to respond to questions raised by Honorable Phillips, as well as Madokwe and Honorable Kula about Mpumalanga work opportunities. Mr. Masenya.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mwatsi, the DG, Honorable Chair and members. The first question relating to Maiden Drift area, the tailings facility that you've referred to. Honorable Member, we have tried to document all the known drilling and honest mines in our database. I think maybe for your question, I would then request, I think you've said that you might share the information. Maybe share the information with us, Honorable Member, so that we can check in our database if the site in Modern Drift area, as what you've alluded, has been captured in our database. But according to our knowledge, we've tried to document all the known GNO sites in our database. However, should we have not capture that one, because of, as Mr. Mwatsi was saying, the previously when they were doing mining in South Africa, there was no thinking of leaving a better legacy for South Africans. And hence now, currently with regards to the democratic government, we are seeking to then address that part. The question on the prospecting rights, Honorable Member Phillips, we have created what you call financial provisioning. I think you've asked to say that, is there any calculations that are done? Yes, there are calculations that are done. The first of calculations that we have produced, I think we produced what you call a quantum for determining financial provisioning. I think it was published in 2004. However, we had to realize that due to the gaps in government policy, not only the DMRE government policy, there were specific gaps that we've identified that they were leaving a state to have a risk. So hence we then embark on the discussion to then do what we call one environmental system. And as part of one environmental system, we just recently, I think somewhere last year, published the new financial provision regulation. It seeks to address any gaps that we had in the previous time when we were implementing the quantum financial provision. So we are hoping, but I think like any other thing that needs to be fixed as it goes, we are hoping that currently it will address our issues. And as we go, if we see that there are any gaps that needs to be addressed in the financial provision to make sure that the state will not end up with a huge liability, then we will continue upgrading it and updating the formulas to talk to the current issues. As honorable member can be aware, you know, things like your asset mine drainage, I think previously we didn't manage it better, but we are hoping that under one environmental system and with the interventions that we've done, we are hoping that we then be able to address it accordingly. Now, let me go to, I think Honorable Kula, you have asked about the Van Ryan, and you were saying, where were the police? Mr. Mwase have covered, Honorable Member, to say that we are currently engaging with police. We are actually participating in the structures with police, NPA, to make sure that since this issue of illegal mining, you know, it cannot be dealt in silo. So we are dealing with all affected stakeholders. That will be inclusive of police, NPA, and amending laws where they need to be amended, because of previously in our laws, there was no synergy in terms of saying when you arrest a legal miner, how do you persecute and so forth. So hence our discussions in those forums is to seek to strengthen the law to make sure that any perpetrators who are identified, then they can be better dealt with by the law. And as well as also making sure that when we go on site, as I think honorable members are aware that, you know, illegal miners, as what Mr. Mwase has said, some of them are having heavy guns. So to make sure that we don't end up with Marikana, to make sure that we end up with the necessary approach that will then support the law. So police are assisting us. Before we even send the technical security company, police are going with us. Police are then assisting us to make sure that we flush out illegal miners. After flushing them, then technical security company takes on, make sure that the site is secured. Then the seeding takes place. Then they stay for 2 weeks. Then after 2 weeks, when they leave, then the plan is, I think, the medium to long-term solution that the DG and Mr. Moises mentioned, the CMO, to say maybe let's now not only look into temporary, because of once you seal the shaft and leave, these illegal miners are having another way of digging something or digging another hole somewhere and accessing the shaft. So hence now the CMO approach is to try and now restrict the movement of illegal miners in these sites. And we are working closely with SAPS. SAPS have agreed that really indeed CMO is a good solution for long-term. And to make sure that, because of, maybe just to share with honorable members, CMO was used for rhino poaching. And it yielded good results in rhino poaching. So hence we adopted it to see that this illegal approach can then be addressed in a similar fashion. So future then is then going to be able to assist to restrict movement of illegal miners and address it immediately, because of this is real-time information that is sent, and police on the ground can then be able to send enforcement to make sure that they then address illegal mining accordingly. Now, the work opportunity, Honorable Malinga, you have highlighted to ask about Msauli. Yes, indeed, Msauli in the numbers that you've indicated there is not included. And the reason for Saudi not to be included is not because of that we didn't create work opportunities for locals. We did. We worked closely with Council Nkosi. And Council Nkosi can attest that really indeed there is sufficient work opportunities that you created. However, it was not included in the spreadsheet because of from Sauli project, we had a problem with one of the contractors. And hence the contract was cancelled. And we then got another contractor to work. So the work opportunity, because of normally when we work with the contractors, they will then keep it in the files and make sure that when they finish project accordingly, they submit the files. I think on this, unfortunately, on this particular one, because of the contractor left before they could even finish, because of they have some financial difficulties, and hence we're forced now to hire another contractor to finish, but not at the state resources, because of in our project, when we manage, we make sure that we check the budget and see if, you know, when we pay per work completed. So there was still some budget left, and hence we then appointed with this budget on that. I think Honorable Madukwe, the first question we were trying to ask ourselves, me and Mr. Mwaz, but I think it's because of the technology. We didn't get it. We didn't get that, your first question. But the second question you've asked with regards to financial implication for this 6,000 site. Now, I can share with you, honorable members, that we have determined the state contingent liability for this 6,000. Though one needs to also highlight to say that this 6,000 was based on a pure desktop study. There were some sites that we visited and completed. I think asbestos, we have a figure, that's fine. But the rest of other communities, we have performed a desktop study. I think honorable members, in our previous presentation, we've highlighted that there are some sites in these 6,000 sites that we realize that they don't require rehabilitation. Because of sometimes, you know, when you leave the site for many years, the grass gets to grow, and it actually, the site sometimes do remedy itself as the time progresses, but for some, not all. So hence now, in this figure, one can say that there would be subtraction. I think the state congenability, we're going to share it with you soon because of we just completed the calculation thereof. Then we will then break it so that you then see the cost of it. But currently, the way it's sitting at approximately 48 billion. But as I said, it's based on the stop study, and then therefore that figure might not necessarily be what the state will incur, as I've mentioned on the other communities with regards to growing of vegetation and now making the liability to be lesser, and also other places where we've issued licenses. I think in our report for state contingent liability will clearly break down that so that members can then be able to know that. I think you also alluded on the financial implications for Textile Security Company. Yes, honorable members, there are financial implications. But what we've done, we've agreed with Mintec, because of we don't want to be double spending in terms of the money that Treasury is providing to us. So this security is the same security that they hire when they go and investigate the site, meaning when they go on the design stage with specialists to perform designs, and immediately after they finish, but you know that time I think the cost item we said ad hoc because it is based on when they are needed to accompany these specialists to do the calculation, to do the design, sorry, and go to tender. Then afterwards, they will then be there for the first week. After, like what I said, police will flush out the illegal miners. Then they will stay on site for at least a week to make sure that no one is buried alive underground, meaning that after flushing, we will then send information and make sure that everyone is out on those particular shafts. And that textile security company will stay there to make sure that everything is in order and do the counts and make sure that everyone is out. Then we'll then seal the shaft. then they will wait again, making sure that whoever works as a contractor is safe during the sealing process. And after the sealing process for the curing, they will then wait for another 2 weeks. Yes, there are cost implications. I think maybe what I can promise honorable members, I don't have it in hand now, the exact cost, because of we have gave MINTEC the cost to implement the entire project. And in that cost, they then split it to say that we will need a security and it will cost as much. I think we can be able to get that cost for the technical security company and share it with members. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, DG, and members.
Maybe before the DG respond, Honorable Chair, maybe just to stress the role which the SAPS is playing. As indicated in the presentation, the Team DMR found it appropriate that we should be part of the broader committee which deals with illicit mining in the country. And the body which we have mentioned in the presentation is the body which is part of this. Now, within the Team DMR, we have the Mineral Regulation and Petroleum Branch, which specifically, amongst others, have a challenge of illegal mining from operational mines. Members would know the challenges which we have been facing, for example, of chrome and so on. And the forum which we referred to is the one which continuously conduct joint operation together with the department as well as the SAPS in respective and or affected provinces. So we have managed as the TMDMR and part of the war room on DNO to put in the agenda the issue and the challenges of DNO in this forum. And Mr. Masenya, I must indicate that as the director responsible, he is part of the generals who are planning to address this problem. Although his focus is on the DNO, but he's part of the broader generals, SAPS generals, who are involved in this instance. Thank you, Honorable Chair, and thank you, DG.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members of the PPC, DG, colleagues. If I may add on what my colleagues have said, Chairperson, on the question that was asked by Honorable Phillips regarding the prospecting right that was awarded and that we charged them $250,000 for the financial provision. The PR that was issued was for about 200 holes and it's a prospecting right. I think we need to have a distinction between the two, that there is a mining right and there is a prospecting right. And the prospecting right is going to have minimal disruption on the surface of the earth. And that's why the money, in terms of what my colleagues have said, that we're using the quantum stipulated in the under NEMA, the National Environmental Management Act. So that $250,000 at the time of the assessment and in terms of the formula, it was adequate because it's just for prospecting. It's not for mining. I must say, for mining of the same company, we have the financial provision of about 15.2 million to cover the bigger area of the mining right. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Advocate. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I think, Chair, we have to, you know, I think I must just put it within the correct context. Chair, we have taken note of the issues that have been raised by the Honorable Members, especially the emphasis that has been put by Honorable Kula on the what is a matter of urgency. And so we have taken note of this question, and so we'll make sure that we put our plans in place. And also on the commitment that we made in concluding the outstanding holes, we'll make sure that by the time when we come back to the PPC, we'll be having a completed report. I think it's, all the questions have been covered. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Okay, thank you, DG. Look, my main worry is that at the time, and you will bear with us, DG, there is a need for synergy so that we know what we are dealing with and whether is there a separation of performance of work. One, when we went to the oversight, although we know it could have been in Gauteng, and we don't get a report that says this is not in Gauteng. The manner in which it was presented, it gives us now to see the bigger challenges of derelict and ownerless mines and asbestos mines. Just very quickly, I don't want to go to one is that I wish I could get a sense, which I think that's what Honorable Madogo was raising, What is the quantum? It's so difficult to get what is the quantum cost of this project. I'm not talking about the fact that because part of this work is that the legislation would have come at a time when there was no obligation on rehabilitation on those mines, and therefore your legislation, when it kicks in, it doesn't allow retrospective application, which is a matter for another day. How, if you wanted to follow that procedure, you could do so. But also, whether is there willingness to those who might be still active in the industry, whether is there any willingness to participate to this long process of rehabilitating those derelict and ownerless mines, leave the issue of acid mine training. Now, I'm worried because from the submission of your APTs and your annual targets, one of the things we've raised was that we're not sure if the cuts that continue to happen and the risk associated with the cuts, what could be the criteria or the quantum cost? If we say, for instance, we've got 6,000 derelict and ownerless mine, from what time we've started to do these things, and what could have been our calculated exercise, and in terms of criteria, whether others being quite dangerous, and therefore others big by size, and therefore would cost more, and so forth. Unfortunately, we don't have, I've never seen that table that would say, of the 6,000, we've managed from this period to do about 1,000. I'm saying that is the issue. Because at times your annual target gets affected by the fact that you have to respond on what you are given and therefore start to make an internal distribution in terms of prioritization. And therefore you have to cut your target. So it is difficult if you don't know what is the total, the overall total of the cost of the exercise. Two is that in as much as we get the issue of the asbestos mines, the truth of the matter is that by this time, let alone having stopped mining asbestos, they are not supposed to be in existence because of the expanding nature, if that was correct what you said to us, that by virtue of where it is located, these mines, these asbestos mines are, they can, depending on weeds and other things that you raise, are not good in that field. So it actually means to me, they should be very high up on the priority of what has to be done based on the implication that it has and the danger, both that is possessed to humans, but also to nature. So I'm not sure when I read this thing, whether I'm reading correctly in terms of, I can't get a sense of prioritization on what you have reflected. Lastly, on this thing, just a point of correction. I don't want to misread English. Your slide on asbestos, I think where it says, it starts saying during the second quarter of 2020, 14 dangerous shafts, whatever. Let's leave that one. I'm going to come to it at the end. And then it says three asbestos mine sites in the Limpopo province are currently in construction. You see? Now, a mine site is something else. A rehabilitation of a mine site is something else. For someone who reads that part, may think that you are still continuing with the construction of asbestos site mines. I'm just saying, please try and correct it, because my understanding is that that construction is on rehabilitation of those mines. So that it is clear, it is not on the basis that you are starting new three mine sites on asbestos. Lastly, I hope Honorable Philip, so that we don't have these problems sometimes that we have in the committee, you will agree with me that instead of asking, sending that information, because once the information is sent outside the committee, it doesn't become an information for the committee. That information of those mines that were left open and so forth, whatever that case that might be, can I request that you forward that to the, what do you call it? Mm-hmm. You forward that to the secretariat, either to Ari or Ayanda. Remind us on Monday when we deal, or not Monday, next week when we deal with the minutes. Just remind us that you have done that, and here is that Ayanda, they will show us the information, and you must, then they must send it straight to the DG's office. Because when these commitments are made in this committee, DG, I will remind you again, when these commitments are made in this, when commitments are made in this committee, unfortunately, they are made on your behalf and the minister. Now, if including this information that we were just told now, that will be supplied, that you put there, you say in the next 6 months, not even 6 months, by the third quarter. Yes, I think that's what it says. That's what Porter was raising. It is during the second quarter 2014, dangerous shafts or holdings have been rehabilitated. The remaining 26 will be completed in the third and fourth quarter. It actually means you are saying by April next year, you will have finished the 16 mines. Probably our first assessment, our first, will be in May next year. Let's see whether you would have done those 26 mines. And when somebody now, and I must say this thing, when you make commitments here and person says, I put my head on the block, please just know that we are very eager now for the head, even if there is no block. Because once you make a commitment, we don't expect excuses when those commitments have not been fulfilled. But I'm not closing my members, not to, if they intend to make follow-up questions or other related matters. But if a commitment is made in this committee, there is information to be supplied, regrettable, that information will have to be supplied because it has been made in the committee. I don't know, I've not seen whether are there any other members. Yes, I see your comment, Honorable Phillips, it's okay. Is there any matter with it in this thing? Honorable Malinga, I see your hand. You want to do a follow-up? Okay.
Yes, Chair. Thank you very much. Chairperson, I think the point that made me raise my hand, you covered it, Chair. So siwukhuzile lo mkhuba wokuthi abantu bethembise ama-member e-portfolio i-information. So if they are called or they are appearing before the portfolio committee, if they want individual engagements, they shouldn't bring them with portfolio platform. Chairperson, my follow-up question is that in terms of lo mntwana owawela lapha kule shaft, iyangihlupha kancane les class. I heard the person who was responding saying that there is a dispute between extended families and what have you, what have you. How long ago did this happen, this incident happen, Chair? Okay. And how long does the department or them intend to delay sealing that shaft or sealing that hole, Chair, before kwenzeka another problem? Because what if another child or another person falls into that shaft? Because if that hole is not properly sealed, Chair, the same thing that happened can still happen, Chairperson. And who left? I did not hear in their presentation or in the incident that they cited here, who left that hole open? Was there any penalty posed or anything? Was that person charged or something? If I can just get that clarity, Chair. Thank you very much.
I see. Okay, I see. End of Honorable Madoka.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think also for myself, it's a question I think was missed on the question of work opportunities, where I was asking what is the average take-home salary and what are the statistics of disabled people that are employed, because it's not specified there whether there are any or whether there are any indications or intentions to employ disabled people. That's the first one. And then I think another one, I think when there was a mention of a contractor that left because they had financial difficulties. And I just wanted the speaker to perhaps expand on what he meant by that, if it's allowed. Because, I mean, if someone is contracted to do work, they're supposed to finish it. And if they don't finish it, then there should be implications. So I think what he said is that the contractor left because they had financial difficulties, and then they had to hire someone else. So I just wanted him to perhaps expand on what he meant by that. Thank you very much.
Okay, Honorable Madoka. No, it's allowed. They must answer. It is not only allowed if it is legal or matters of legal obligation, which they must tell us in advance, and why they cannot be divulged in the committee. Honorable DG,
okay.
I nearly said Honorable DG.
And you are very consistent, Chair. I'm sure you are inviting me. Thank you very much. I'd like to give to Mr. Moate to and Tate Masenya to respond to the questions, and I'll come in. Thank you very much.
Thank you, DG, and thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I will respond to the question which was raised by the Honorable Chair. One question, which is there any willingness on the part of other mines to participate in the rehabilitation of this DNO? Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, after we have identified that we have 6,000 DNOs, one of the responsibilities which the Council for Geoscience had to do was to identify the prevalence of any left minerals in these sites, especially in those commodities other than asbestos. And there are several of them after the study which was conducted by Council for Geoscience. And what is happening at the present moment is that once there is a certain percentage of the raw materials in those mines, then these then are then allowed to be acquired by the applicants or the mine right, new mine right holders, who then also take responsibility in as far as the liability of rehabilitating those sites are concerned. I must indicate this is this would be those mines other than the asbestos mines. I'm going to request my colleague to respond to some of the questions. We have communicated to the portfolio committee on the 14 or the 14 and the 26 sites which are still to be completed. We have noted that, Mr. Massey.
Thank you very much, DG, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Honorable Chair, you have asked the question with regards to quantum cost of DNO. The estimate that we've put up currently sitting at 49 billion. I think earlier I said 48 because of, I think it's 48 point something. I think maybe just to round it off, to be accurate, it's 49 billion. And of these 49 billion, I think Chair was also highlighting the fact that asbestos as a banned substance and as a priority, the quantum for asbestos is sitting at 2 billion. So now when we disclose on our financials, we actually split this figure because of the fact that the other one, we normally call it to say that the state is not fully liable since, like as I had alluded it earlier, that what we are still doing on the DNO side is not only rehabilitation, but it's to look at the potential for either re-mining, and that's where we issue new licenses for such DNOs. And others, we then look at other recreation to say, can it be converted to something that will promote local economy? So those are the things. But the one that we are sure that this one, the state has to incur is a 2 billion that talks to the asbestos rehabilitation. And just to also add on what Mr. Mwatsu was saying, in terms of financial provisioning, yes, indeed, the mining company is prepared to assist. We've engaged them on several occasions, and they had also indicated the interest where they can be able to assist. I think honorable members can remember when they visited the department with regards to illegal mining. There is some joint intervention that the department is doing with the industry in terms of sealing some of the shafts in Gauteng that are populated by illegal miners. I think that part, that's what I can mention, Honorable Chair. And there was a question, Honorable Phillips, in relation to Balmora shaft. Yes, indeed. Balmora shaft is unfortunately something that didn't sit well with all South Africans had happened where the child has fell in. Yes, the department has been working closely with municipality. One can confirm that this is a shaft where the kid fell in. I think it's 2 to 3 years ago. There have been engagement with municipality. Municipality has experienced some challenges, of which that is why I think Mr. Mwatsu was saying we are thinking of approaching now the mayor to unlock whatever challenges that Ekurhuleni municipality is faced with. Because from the department side, we're ready to move in. We went on tender to say we are sealing. However, because of the rituals, as the honorable member rightfully said, you know, it's in our culture to perform rituals in instances like this one. and we don't even require any approval of someone else. Hence, the department have acknowledged that, and that is why we couldn't seal it, because of we have to respect what we are from or what we believe in as South Africans. So hence, we couldn't seal. What we did was just erect the fence around it to make sure that we stop anyone from accessing the site, and so that we then allow municipalities sufficient time for them to then work with family and the councillor to then deal with the ritual part. And as soon as they are done, the department, as what we've mentioned, we are ready, we want to move in. The only thing is this issue that the municipality has to sort out with the family of the departed soul. So I think maybe that I can respond to that because of the fact that we've tried everything possible from our side. The only thing is that as soon as has been addressed, I think we'll proceed to then seal the shaft. It's not going to take us long. I think Mr. Moas has mentioned. Obviously, what will affect us is that we'll look into the bench of other sites that are going to be sealed to include that one site or one shaft into those other ones that we are going to go for tender. It depends on when they will solve it. Then from there, as they do the other ones, they will then do this particular one. Yes, Honorable Member, you've also asked with regards to the people who were responsible for this Belmora shaft. I think just to highlight this point, Honorable Members, this shaft was sealed previously. It was sealed by the then owner previously. I think Mr. Moati have mentioned the challenges in the law. I think they've sealed it around 1950s. Unfortunately, back then, the technology that they were using was not capable to then make sure that it brings a permanent solution. According to them, it was a permanent solution. They've sealed it. However, due to excess rains that you experience in Gauteng, due to the climate change, that caused floods. This shaft was then affected by those rains, and it kept in, meaning whatever was done to rehabilitate, it then swallowed by the ground that collapsed. And unfortunately, the time when it happened, immediately after the rain stopped, then the kids were then playing around the area. Then it happened that one of them fell into the pit. So yes, the previous owners have done something. And yes, they've done something in line with what was required then by the law. However, the situation happened. So hence now it falls squarely on the department with regards to addressing it, because of the current law cannot be implemented for the previous mistakes. It will not be implemented retrospectively. So let me then go to Honorable Madokwe. You've asked about the disabled people. Yes, indeed, we try by all means, and what we've agreed with MINTEC, even in our contract, is to say the disabled people must also be factored in. However, because of the fact that when these appointments are happening, what we do as a department is that we have a number, total number of people that we want. We work it out with MINTEC and the contractor. Then we'll then have a total to say in this project, we want 40 people. We are not involved in hiring because of that is the competency that we leave to municipality, community, tribal council, together with council. We then request them, they will sit down, will motivate to say include disabled people as well. However, the list that gets to be sent to us for people whom we must appoint is the list that they sit down, all those stakeholders that I've mentioned, and will then hire those, because if we understand that community will understand who must be included in this project, because it's the other project that other people have got an opportunity. So this, we only implement the list of people that are forwarded by these stakeholders. So the department is not involved in terms of selecting people from communities. Thus, we leave it to municipality community, traditional councils, together with the councillor of the area. Now, with regards to salaries, we in our project we make sure that it has to be more than the minimum acceptable, because of we understand that these communities have faced challenges before, and our approach is to say where we can, let's try and make sure that we maximize it to benefit our people. So the average salary that we normally employ in our project, we haven't revised it yet. It was supposed to be revised this year, but COVID happened. But the salary is 24 rand per hour. So that will amount to 4,300, roughly around there, for unskilled laborers. And for others, then it's a question of paying the market related. Even though we are not involved in terms of making sure that the contractor does that, but we have placed a mechanism because of, remember, honorable members, we are implementing this via our SOE, which is MINTEC and CGS. So MINTEC will then make sure that in the contract that they sign with the contractor, this information is properly included. And us as well, because of we have a stakeholder engagement meeting, the PSC, the Project Steering Committee meeting, that is chaired by myself, where all stakeholders are there. We make sure that we also track and assess to say, CLO, is the salary being paid like this and so forth, so that we make sure that when we are not on site, our people are exploited. So that's what we do from the department side, and make sure that we then address this issue of making sure that proper salaries are paid and our people, not only salaries, in terms of also the subcontracting, because of subcontracting is what we also promote to our people, because of we want to impart some skills to them so that eventually when the project has ended, these people can be able to survive on their own. We don't want to catch fish for them, but we rather teach them how to catch a fish. So hence now, with regards to these subcontracting, our approach is to say, let's assist them so that in future, they can then be able to do those jobs on their own and promote their own local economy. Now, the contractor that has left, I think that's the last question that was raised. Yes, indeed, the contractor has signed the agreement. I think you are right, honorable member, in saying that once you've committed, you are expected to finish. And this is exactly the same. We're expecting them to finish. However, after they've experienced bankruptcy and those challenges, they left. And what we did as a remedial action for that, MINTEC has pursued legal charges against them. I know they were still busy with it. I haven't received the report with regards to how far they are with the legal process. But I'm aware that MINTEC has issued some letters, and possibly maybe now to the level of issuing summons, to make sure that they held these people accountable, because of they had made a commitment to our department. However, they just left, not because of the doing of the department or the MINTEC, but because of their poor management of their own finances. I think I'll pause it at there. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, through you, Honorable Chair. Let me respond to two questions also which have been asked. The first one, Honorable Chair, had asked that we reconsider the confusion which is brought by the term mine sites, and that we consider to focus mainly on rehabilitation. We have taken note of the advice which Honorable Chair has indicated in this regard, and will correct forthwith. The second one, Honorable Chair, Honorable Madukwe asked a question related to job opportunities, specifically delineation of these job opportunities to some sectors of the community. Specifically, she cited the disabled community. Yes, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, as part of the ensuring on compliance to expanded public works program, we do include the disabled community. We include the youth, we include women, as well as men in these work opportunities. Just on top of my head, I do not have the figures of the disabled in respective projects, but I'm aware, for example, of, in one of the projects or the projects in Hamatabata, 8 Cake and Lachedrai, we have the disabled people specifically involved as part of the project steering committee. To be specific, we do, Honorable Chair, consider the disabled and other sectors of the community. Thank you, DG. Thank you, Honorable Members.
Thank you very much, Mr. Motse. I think that is a question that I wanted also to touch on of disabled people. Thank you very much for covering it. Honorable Chair, thank you very much. Over to you, Chair. Honorable Chair.
Yeah, I'm trying to check here whether there are any take from honorable members before I close. At least we still do have a few minutes. In the absence of that, can we go to the minutes? I hope, DG, you heard what we have put as commitments that you have made. There is a song that is Yashisa Sitipe. So we don't want to be seen from where. Honorable members, the minutes of the 11th of November, the shortest ever meeting I've ever had. Any corrections on the minutes, any take corrections on the minutes? In the absence of any move of the minute?
No, Chair, I've got something I want to raise.
Eh?
I've got an issue that I want to raise.
Yes.
I'm saying in the minute, yeah, it is reflected that I am present. On my parliamentary committee attendance, it is not reflecting that I was present in the meeting. When I check that one of Comrade Mahlaule, of Honorable Mahlaule, sorry, Chair, it reflects that he was present in the meeting. When I check that one of Honorable Malinga, it reflects that she was also present in the meeting. But it does not reflect that I was present in the meeting, Chair, which is an issue I would want both Ari and Ayanda to attend to them.
Which one? The minutes of the 11th?
Yeah, I wanted to double check that.
No.
I want to check with Mr. Kula, which minute is he talking about? Because it reflects as present in this meeting.
Yeah,
that's I'm saying. Chair.
Yes, Mr. Kula.
I'm saying when you go to the parliamentary committee attendance, it reflects that both the portfolio committee members I have mentioned, it indicates that they were present in the meeting, but it does not indicate that I was present in the meeting.
So in the parliamentary logos, it says it doesn't reflect what is reflecting on the minutes.
Yes.
Okay. Not That one will go. I understand that you will attend to it. And
yes, I'll attend to it.
Maybe Parliament thinks that you are not present.
No, it's only Honorable Mumaro who can bring that.
Okay, any move of the minute?
I move for the adoption of the minute, Chair.
Any seconder?
Seconder, Chair.
Thank you very much. Any matters arising? In the absence of matters arising, there is only one issue I want to share with members, that we are doing our level best. Remember, amongst other commitments we made to, let me say, to Parliament, but through the House Chair, was that we will finalize the report by the 29th.
Yes, Chair. Yes.
Yeah, so next week, honorable members, we will try our level best to send the draft report by before the end of this week or by Friday. And when you have received it, we will then deal with the report also on Wednesday. On that note, honorable members, thank you very much. You have cut again your meeting with almost an hour and 5 minutes. Thank you very much. The meeting stands adjourned. Let's meet tomorrow.
Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Bye. Thank you,
Chair.
Thank you, Chair.